Hello, Americans. Stand by for news.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Spanning the globe to bring you the latest in classic rock news and comment. It's the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update with your host, Jeremy Lunnon.
I think so. I think we can do that. Hey, we're ready to go. It's the hump day version, the hump day edition of the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. And we've got some great news to get to. And guys, right out of the gate, you notice I don't really have sponsors very often. And to be honest, that's kind of by design, but every once in a while I will see a sponsor that's like just really cool. And so I'll reach out and I'll say, hey, I'd love to talk about you on my podcast. And so I'm going to do this because this is something that I'm legitimately super excited about. So remember when you were a kid, back in the day in the late 70s and the 80s, when we went to concerts and you'd get a concert ticket, you get the actual stub and you'd save that for years and years. And you could look on there and say, I paid $8.50 to see Rush, right? Or $13 to see Ozzy. Well, you guys have to go write this down. The website is stubforge.com, stubforge.com. I've reached out and talked to Ivan, is the guy that runs StubForge. He's like us, concert fan. He's been to hundreds of concerts, saved all his stubs. Well, now the last few years, it's all electronic. So you just get an email and then you scan your phone. Well, you don't get the cool stub anymore. Well, Ivan is a computer guy, and he had this great idea of making these concert ticket stubs. So if you get an electronic concert ticket, he can actually make a stub. Okay, so you can get a stub. But here's where it gets really cool. Imagine you have a party, a wedding reception, a retirement party, something you're inviting people to. They can actually make concert tickets for your event that look, it's on the same paper that like Ticketmaster would use. He uses the same printers. So they are legit concert stubs, stubforge.com. To be honest, it's like the coolest thing I've seen. And right up our alley, right? For those of us that are into collecting concert tickets, concert shirts, LPs, whatever, you got to go to their website. They can custom design any type of concert ticket, either from a real concert ticket, or if you're doing a party or an event, a corporate event or whatever. Obviously, the more you buy, the more discounts you get. So they're volume discounts. Stubforge.com. They look and they feel, it's a real looking, it looks just like the concert tickets we used to get, the stubs we would get and we'd hang on to for years and years. Well, you can have those made. You can recreate that at stubforge.com. Totally cool. You need to check it out. Imagine when you buy someone a concert ticket, you know, and for Christmas or their birthday, you give them, I bought you this ticket. You'll get an email with the QR code, you know, whatever. That's not as fun as actually opening it up and see, wow, I got these tickets. So even if you get electronic tickets, you can have StubForge make you an actual ticket for that. And of course, I already mentioned using it for a party, a wedding reception, anything you want to invite for any reason, you can have StubForge make you a cool concert ticket stub for it. It's awesome. You got to check it out. And thank you to Ivan and StubForge for sponsoring us today. It's stubforge.com. Check it out. Okay, let's get into the news here. Skid Row have split with their singer, Eric Gronwall. Now, Eric Gronwall, he's a guy that I've followed on YouTube for a while, and he posts these awesome covers. I mean, he'll be singing Deep Purple. He'll be singing, you know, just these classics. And dude, man, what a great voice. And he's been in Skid Row for about 2 years now. He did their last album. Just a great singer. Well, he's leaving the band. And here's why. Here's what he posted on social media. Quote, I got the opportunity to join this incredible band six months after my treatment for leukemia. And 1 month after that, I was on a world tour with Skid Effing Row. Wow. It was a dream come true. However, it proved challenging touring the world with an impaired immune system, which is a result of my bone marrow transplant. I respect and understand that Skid Row is a touring band, but since I can't prioritize my health being in the band, I have decided that it's better for me to step aside. I love Skid Row. I have nothing but respect for the guys in the band, but I love and respect my health more. I'm getting stronger and healthier every day, but after consulting my doctor, I need to allow myself more time to recover, which I can't do as the lead singer of Skid Row. That's why I have reached the tough decision to move on. I want to thank the guys for this incredible opportunity, and I want to thank all the Skid Row fans who accepted me as the lead singer of this iconic band, Health First. First of all, our best wishes to Eric. The guy's phenomenally talented. Phenomenally talented. You got to go to his YouTube, check out some of his performances. The guy's just really good. Awesome. And so we wish him the best in his recovery. And hopefully we will see him soon, either with Skid Row or maybe doing something on his own or a new band. Because the guy, seriously, major league talent. And we, of course, wish him the best as he recovers. But here's what's interesting. Skid Row, of course, it's an amicable break, and they're with, you know, it's completely amicable, no problems there. But Skid Row's in a position where, who are we going to replace Eric with? You know, Skid Row tunes, Sebastian Bach was a great singer, right? If they're doing the old stuff, the newer stuff, they got to have someone who can handle that range. Eric definitely could. Well, this will be interesting. Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm will be filling in for a handful of Skid Row shows. Think of that. Lizzie Hale singing Skid Row tunes. That could be really cool. And I don't know how many shows that'll be. Yeah, I don't know that this will be a permanent thing. It probably won't be. But in the short term, she will be doing shows in May and June in the U.S. So I'll just say this. I am open to touring with Skid Row. I'm not a great singer and no one's interested in having me, but I'll just say I'm open to that. Just throw that out there. Eddie Kramer is a legendary producer. He's worked with Kiss. He's worked with Ted Nugent. He's worked with a bunch of other people I'm not thinking of right now. But he's the guy that was the producer on the first Kiss Alive album. The album Kiss Alive, this next one was called Kiss Alive 2. So I didn't have to say the first Kiss Alive because there's only one Kiss Alive album. I digress. But he talks about in an interview with Guitar World that he had to resort to special measures in order to record Ace. Ace is an interesting character. He says, quote, Ace is interesting because many interesting things go on in his brain, but you must get him in the right mood to get that cool stuff out. Kramer said, quote, I had to have him lie on the floor with a pillow behind his head and a bottle of Heineken because he was too nervous to stand up. So he'd be nervous in the studio if he was standing up. So I'd have him on the floor with a bottle of whatever to calm him. And the more takes we did, the more confident he got. By the second or third take, he was up on his feet, and I said, all right, Ace, keep going. It's cool. And about that album, right? There's been some controversy, and even it's been revisited recently about the amount of overdubbing that happened on that album. Kramer says, the thing with Kiss was we knew we had to get everything down on tape no matter what it took, he explained. It was hard because they were always, he's talking about them on stage, right? It was hard because they were always jumping around and we had to do a bunch of work on the album after the fact, but that's how it was. There were just bits we had to fix for obvious reasons, like the guys being on stage in 6-inch boots, bombs going off and rockets and flames shooting to God knows where. It takes a lot of work to keep in time and tune while jumping up and down. They can do it now, but in those days, not so much. And Kramer said that he had regarded Paul Stanley as an okay guitarist who became very good later. So in the early days, Kramer, not such a big fan of Paul Stanley's playing, but he says he was a fan of Fraley from the start. I knew that Ace would be a star, that's for sure. Ace had intuitive talents. He could play blues and rock, and I love that he could play all these cool blues licks, but make them his own. Ace wasn't scared of anything, though he did get nervous in the studio, apparently. He had this huge sound from the start, and his talent was instantly recognizable. So here's the thing about live albums, and I don't mean to, you know, be a party pooper here. All of your favorite live albums, they've been doctored in the studio. Okay, just about all of them. And everyone talks about, oh, that was straight live. They have to doctor almost every single one. Now, Paul Stanley has even said that they doctored theirs a lot, right? As much as some have said they're studio albums that they add crowd noise to, right? I don't know if it goes that far, but Paul has even admitted, oh yeah, we had to change a lot of things. And his point is, look, we're trying to recreate the Kiss live experience. And if the live recording is crap, well, we want it to sound better. So if that means doctoring it up in the studio, we're going to do it, right? Because ultimately, you're listening to a CD or an album at the time. We want it to be the best it can possibly be. So did they doctor things up? Absolutely. How much? I don't know. I know there have been rumors that they even brought in different people to play on some of the live things. I don't know. But guys, all of your favorite bands did it. Okay, think of your favorite live album. I know Strangers in the Night, which to me is the greatest live album ever made. They had to go in and doctor some things. A few things. Not much, according to Ron Nevison, thinks the producer. Not much, but a few things. In fact, Shanker even was upset. Shanker even was upset because some of the live performances Ron used, Shanker was like, I got a better performance from this town. Why don't you use that one? Whatever. So there was some of that going on. It's usually a mixture of they record on several nights. They've got to bring things together. And then they've just got to redo a lot of things as well. Sometimes they got to fix bad stuff. Ozzy Osbourne's Speak of the Devil, I've heard that much of that was doctored. In fact, some of the recordings, some of the songs that appear on the live album were actually recorded during soundcheck, right? And then some of them were doctored. I don't know if all the vocals were doctored in the studio, if he had to recut the vocals. I don't know. But guys, that's just the way it works on live albums. I mean, I don't think there's ever been a live album that is straight from the mixer. They record it and that goes out. Doesn't happen. They always got to fix stuff. They got to do something. So it is what it is. Don't let it ruin your experience of enjoying a great live album. Speaking of live, Stray Cats. I got a weakness for the Stray Cats. I got a weakness for the rockabilly. Ask me sometime about the time I spent in a rockabilly band. I was so out of my league. I love rockabilly. You guys know I play in a dad band. I play the classic rock tunes, right? But I hooked up with a couple of guys, great guys. I replaced a guy in this band who was a phenomenal rockabilly guitarist. I wasn't. right? I came in, I knew some of these old tunes because I grew up listening to, you know, 50s and 60s music. And I had a blast playing with these guys. I was so in over my head. Let me just say that rockabilly style. And Brian Setzer is the best. The dude is awesome. I love that guy. Anyways, the Stray Cats have announced dates for a summer tour. They're going to start July 27th, just north of Seattle in Woodinville, Washington. And they'll play through August 17th in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So far, they'll probably add some other shows. More over two dozen shows. We'll keep the trio singer and guitarist Brian Setzer, bassist Lee Rocker, and drummer Slim Jim Phantom on the road for 3 weeks. They're going to do 24 shows in 3 weeks. How do you do that? You do more than one show a day, I guess. 3 weeks is like 21 days, 24 shows. Wow. So they're really doubling up. And I think this is the first time that they've toured in quite a while. So Stray Cats, you should go out and see them. Remember, they were all over MTV in the early days. And they're a great band. And I still love Brian Setzer. Any chance I get to see him play, the guy is phenomenal. So check them out on the road. We've got two new videos to talk about today that are on the YouTube. Bon Jovi has released the official lyric video for the band's latest single, Legendary. It's now out. You can see it. The album will be called Forever. That this is from, it will be arriving June 7th. So this is an early lead single. It's called Legendary. You can check that out. And then also, I'm even more excited about this. Accept. German Metal Master. Okay, Accept. They've got a new music video for The Reckoning. It's the second single from their upcoming album, Humanoid. And that's due out a month from now, April 26th. For the new Humanoid album from Accept, produced by Andy Sneap, acclaimed metal producer Andy Sneap, who not only produced Judas Priest, but is currently touring with Judas Priest as the second guitarist. Pretty cool. I like Accept. I, as much as I like them, every time I see them, I'm surprised they don't own more of their albums. I've got to rectify that situation. Got to rectify that situation. So there it is. Guys, you can email me, classicguitarrock@mail.com. I would love to hear from you. Again, we want to thank our sponsor. Really cool idea, stubforge.com. Check them out. And we'll do this all again tomorrow on the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update. Thanks so much. We'll see you then. Take care. Live long and prosper.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Thanks for listening. You can email Jeremy at classicguitarrock@mail.com.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Tune in each weekday for the Classic Guitar Rock Daily Update.